I'm not sure if anyone's seen in the newsletter this week, or last week or this week, what the heading was for this morning. I just called it, "Why are you doing this?" So maybe that was intriguing, I don't know. But we're going to ask that very question of three of our people today. So we're going to welcome up Meryl and Isabel and Brian to come and join me on the couch. So let's give them a welcome. It's a bit scary coming up here. So thank you for your participation and your bravery, you three. Now, you know, I put that there and I thought I shouldn't do that because that's a trip hazard. Hey, so last year, you guys all did something new. You all took a course at our very local Te Wānanga or Aotearoa, a Māori place of learning, to learn some reo, some Māori language. You're doing something that's really important to Māori, even though you don't need to do it for your everyday life, right? You've invested time and energy into this. So tell us, why are you doing this? Or why would you do this? What led you to take a Te Reo course at Te Wānanga or Aotearoa? Meryl?
Probably not the same reason as anybody else.
All got different reasons.
I heard or I read that if you have damaged your head in any way, you are quite likely to end up with Alzheimer's. And because I got kicked in the head by a horse and had surgery, I thought, well, I am quite likely to get Alzheimer's or some sort of brain memory loss, whatever. And so I thought, well, I better do whatever I can to not do it or to stop that coming. And so I figured out one of the best ways to get your brain working is to learn a language. And okay, I've learned Amharic. I did not learn Korean, but Amharic, that was 1997. I decided it was about time I learnt another language. And so that's why I went to Te Wānanga to learn Māori. The other reason was because my grandmother was a Methodist deaconess up in the north around Rāwhiti, and many, many Māori people up there. And so because she had a lot to do with the Māori many years ago. This was before I was born. And then my mother learnt Māori at night school. I thought, well, I'll do the same.
Oh, that's really interesting. Very cool. Oh, thank you. Isabel, you got the microphone?
I do.
Yeah. yeah. How about you? Why are you doing this? You're busy. You got, you know, study and work and Tim.
yeah, because actually I challenge what you say. I think that it is important in my everyday life to learn Te Reo and use that appropriately. Being a recently trained midwife, it is entrenched and interwoven through the frameworks of midwifery. It's in the midwifery standards. And also, I'm acutely aware I'm an immigrant to this country. I've been given the gift of living here. It feels very much like home. And for that reason, I feel the need and the wish and the want to understand and learn and do more.
Awesome. Thank you. And Brian, you've got a really, you know, cushy life with a really not very much responsibility or anything like that. Lots of free time. So there's a joke. Being a busy doctor, how did you? What's up with you? What led you to do this?
Like Isabel, I'm an immigrant, and that's one of the factors. I come from a multilingual country, and I worked quite a lot of my career in South Africa with Zulu-speaking people, and in rural Zululand, where I worked quite a number of years, you only admit to being able to speak any English if you have a mental illness.
Really?
Unless you're a professional. So an awful lot of the consultations that I had were translated, essentially all of them. So I tried hard to learn Zulu, and I learnt it to some extent. And when I arrived in New Zealand, I attempted to learn Maori from communicating with Maori people, and I was quite unsettled, actually, at how few could speak any Maori at all, and I realized rather rapidly that actually I was antagonizing people by wanting to discuss anything in Maori, which was quite unsettling. I also have a wife who's done 2 years of Maori and a son who I think is really quite fluent, although I'm not qualified to say. So there's a little bit of family pressure as well. And it's something that I'd wanted to do for a long time. And I work in Waitara, and there are people there who speak very good Maori. And so I have the opportunity every day to practice my pronunciation, and at least the beginning stuff that I do know.
Thank you. Hey, so yesterday was Waitangi Day. And over the last few Waitangi weekends, we've engaged with one of the ways that Māori feel the Treaty of Waitangi can be honoured. So there's a poster about this on our wall over there, and it's going to be up on PowerPoint as well. So this year I've chosen number 2 on that list, respecting the language as a way to honour the treaty in Aotearoa. So I guess that leads me to you know, be curious and ask, what's something you guys have immersed yourselves, you know, for a number of hours a week in a situation that's more, you know, te ao Māori, Māori worldview and stuff like that. But what's something you've learned from being in that space about honouring the treaty? Yeah. Meryl, yeah.
Coming from Taranaki, very close to Palahaka, that's something special for me. One of the churches I went to in Auckland was Mount Albert Baptist, and the senior pastor, Steve Woolsey, was brought up here in New Plymouth. And before he went to Baptist College, he was a concert pianist. In other words, quite musical. And he actually joined Palahaka and music together. And he did a musical, wrote a musical on the story of Palahaka. And if you don't know it, you need to know about it. You need to look it up on the internet or talk to me afterwards or Andrew or something. But the big thing about the story of Palahaka is peace and how the soldiers were there ready to fight, and they were greeted by peace, with peace and in peace. And that made such a difference. And this musical on Palahaka was absolutely amazing, and I only bought a ticket for one night, and I am so mad at myself for doing that because it was so popular I could not get another ticket. I talked to my Māori teacher in my class, and I showed her the program, and she was so impressed. She does not go to church and does not live a life that someone who loves Jesus would do. However, she was so impressed by this, and it was so important to her. And I thought, you know, that's Taranaki, that's us. And so the story of Parahaka and the peace that was shown by the Māori is so important.
Yeah, thanks, Meryl. How about you, Isabel? Anything you've learned about honouring the treaty from your studies? Or just life, maybe?
Yes, there is. I'm not quite sure how to communicate this, maybe in the way that I want to. I think that we have to be very careful, though, in the way that we go about learning te reo Māori or customs and show that, and be very mindful and intentional about it not being decolonizing in the way that we do that. So I don't want to use that te reo Māori language and claim it as my own. And it's a fairly difficult place to sit, but it's certainly a place that we need to find how to sit in if we are going to honour truly the te tiriti o Waitangi.
I must say, when I tried to study a bit of te reo, I wasn't thinking primarily in a treaty, of a treaty component or a treaty lens, and looking at it from that point of view has been interesting, and I guess slightly encouraging that your 10 DIY ways to honour the treaty, actually some of them have been things that I've been applying or learning. I have to say that it, for me, wasn't consistently a comfortable experience. Maybe it was different for you guys. Learning a language, I think probably at any age, isn't easy, but my impression, my defense is it gets a bit harder when you're a little older. And the amount of time involved was substantial, and I never was able to do as much as I would like to have been able to do and as much as the course expected. You know, it's a full-time course, apparently. I didn't have full-time hours available, and I'm not doing it again this year because the expectation is that I will spend 30 hours a week studying.
Plus.
And I don't have that amount of time available. And to be, I'm not used to being the person who knows virtually nothing in a context. And when I was asked to say something, came out wrong, and I couldn't get it right. And I'm not used to, you know, being way off. And I'm used to kind of being a bit more in charge, and I was definitely not. And it wasn't entirely simple, I have to say. I attended almost everything. I went to the Noho Marae, and I didn't sleep very much in a Marae sleeping setting. And I was exposed to things that were disconcerting. I want to mention just one anecdote, and that was I was talking with a friend about Puniho Marae, which is where we did the Noho Marae, and it's functional, but it's quite utilitarian, and it doesn't have the sort of carvings that you associate with older marais, for instance, in the Waikato. And the reason for that, essentially, is the destruction of all the marae on the coast that was carried out at the time of the invasion of Parihaka. All of the marae were burned and destroyed, and there's virtually none of the old carving left. And Puniho, we were being hosted by people who Whakapapa back to Puniho for generations, and they were telling us about, you know, what was over there, and you know, that the Rahoto stone has been moved so that it's within our area, and I became very conscious of Puniho being a tiny remnant of what Maori used to control and own, and were able to depend upon as their food source and their source of income, and how enormously shrunken that is.
And that has huge implications going for generation after generation, doesn't it? Massive, yeah. Yeah. And we can't even fully begin to appreciate that, can we? Well, I can't. Yeah. Mm. Was there anything else there, Brian? Or sorry, I didn't mean to cut him.
No, I've talked plenty.
Mm. Yeah. And thank you for sharing that. And, yeah, it's a bit unsettling when you're used to, yeah. Yeah, being in charge, as you say, and that not being the case.
Look, I'm aware that control is an illusion, but I'm not usually the person who knows the least in the room.
Yeah.
Maybe that's also a lack of insight. But
so, final question. So with regards to respecting the language, obviously not everyone can go and, you know, commit huge hours every week, and we're certainly not pushing that or anything like that. But just in terms of respecting the language, why is this important to you, Meryl? And why do you think it's important to God?
I think that God loves the Maori people just as much as he loves me. And I don't have the right to say, oh, I don't want to learn Maori. Oh, no, that's not my language. Because it's important to God. And it's important to the Maori people. Just like Amharic was so important to the Ethiopian people when I was there. And so I guess I'm trying to do my bit in loving the Maori people and their culture and their language in the same way as God does, and in the same way as I love my own language and culture. So, yeah, that's why it's important to me.
Thank you.
Say? Can I say that? It was a cop-out.
No,
you can
say except for the Ethiopian bit.
True. I've just completely lost my trail of thought. I was going down it, and then I was listening to you. Why is it important to my God?
Why is respecting the language?
Yeah, because when I became a citizen of this country, I made a commitment to being a citizen of this country. And Te Reo Māori is one of three official languages of this country. And I feel a responsibility, but a good responsibility. It's not a burden. I have an interest, and I want to understand and understand more.
Hmm.
So Te Reo Māori isn't just words. It's a very pictorial, visual language, and it is so much more than one meaning. One word, whenua, for instance, is the land, or placenta, that's the midwife in me. And you can't really understand Māori worldviews or Māori concepts without having some te reo knowledge, or at least having that helps you understand that much more. Also, I want to be able to pronounce words correctly. Place names, people's names. That's really important to me.
That's all
and
about respect,
God.
Isn't it? Yeah, and it's so important to God, eh? Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, my view is quite similar. And pronouncing people's names seems to be a reasonably good place to start, at least. The phrase I use probably the most goes, Aroha mai he iti toko Māori, ahakoa kei te ako tonu au, which means, I'm sorry, my Māori is really at the beginning, but I'm still committed to learning. And an awful lot of, some people say, look, I'm sorry, you've lost me ages ago, which reflects the state of the language for many Māori, but others are really remarkably appreciative, and it's an extremely tiny little gesture, but it's the beginning of a connection. You know, you're not just here because you're unwell.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for sharing of yourselves. Thanks, yeah, just for your input and insights and everything this morning. Yeah, really, really appreciate that. Yeah. Let's give them a hand, eh? So I've got a few more things to say. The illusion of control, of being able to speak when I want. Hey, so Waitangi Day is our national day where we remember and we celebrate and we lament the forming of the sacred agreement between many Māori chiefs and the British Crown or Empire. And on Thursday, we heard our Prime Minister speak of a new public holiday starting next year, Matariki, also known as the Māori New Year. And I guess for me, that's really different to how I grew up thinking about the New Year. I'm guessing that might be similar for you guys. It's different in that the Matariki public holiday will be movable. But, you know, that's fine. It's like Easter, isn't it? And it's different in that it's the first of our 12 public holidays that come out of Te Ao Māori, or the Māori worldview, or the Māori way of seeing things. The first out of 12. And that's why this is so important. For it's respecting, Matariki is, it's respecting a perspective different to our own that's held close to the hearts of our treaty partners. Respecting the language applies when we sing songs with words in the label as well. Even though I don't think we have any fluent speakers present, Aroha mai, if that's not the case, we are declaring with our actions that we value this commitment. We are siding with justice. We are being who we've said we want to be as a church and our West Way Forward, which growing as healthy treaty partners. Now, I've heard people who are in a minority ethnicity say that they feel welcome, most welcome, in a place when there is a demonstration of their welcome in word, in sign, and in deed. So I want to just think for a moment about that, about word, sign, and deed. So we've said as a church in word that we want to be helpful treaty partners. That was really important to nearly every West person when we created our West Way Forward a few years ago. Okay, that's word. In regards to sign, we have very little, if any, maybe none, visual demonstration of that commitment. But we have some plans. We've got some ideas. Hoping to put a copy of Te Tiriti, the treaty, on our walls. And Ngāti Te Witi Hapu are the local families who have lived here for about 8 centuries, and we plan to include them and seek their input and advice on how to visually demonstrate this partnership, especially if we go ahead and with this upgrade of the foyer that we're sort of throwing around a bit and that we'll be talking more about in the coming months. So there's not much on the sign sort of side of things. There's word, sign, the last one is deed. And we want to demonstrate our commitment in deed and how we live this stuff out. And one way we can do this is by using the language. And part of that is in singing beautiful waiata or songs like we have and like we do. So there's a new waiata that we're keen to learn that comes out from a tauparapara. A tauparapara is a short form of poetry at the beginning of a speech. And it's the one that we had playing at the beginning of the, before the service started, and that Jacob talked us through earlier. It's my favourite from ones that I know of, and so I use that if I have to make a speech in reo. And it's, so it says, I'll say it again, write it in the sky, write it in the land, write it on the hearts of all people. What is the greatest thing? It is love. It's an awesome gospel poem. Tuia ki te rangi, tuia ki te wenua, tuia ki te nākau o ngā tangata katoa, ko te mea nui, ko te aroha. Hey, so finally, during the week, I chatted to our Andrea Mangu, who's Māori, who couldn't be here today. She's out of town, but she had some great thoughts about how Pākehā, or those who aren't Māori, about how Pākehā speak and sing in reo, how that shows respect to our treaty partner. So she, some of the things she said to me were that sometimes people talk about the treaty using the three P's. I know that's, yeah, sometimes yes, sometimes no. But for her, that's been really helpful in her workplace and teaching in early childhood education setting. So the three P's, partnership, participation, and protection. So, for example, if we think of those three things in relation to waiata or singing or language, partnership exists when we teach what we know in the learning process. There's partnership going on there. Participation exists when we act out together what we've been taught. So in this case, in the actual action of singing, there's participation happening. And protection exists when we use the language. For in doing this, we are helping to protect it. And so even in that act of just singing together, we are, being, I think, healthy treaty partners, working together to honour that. So Andrew went on to say that when people use her language correctly, it just means so much to her. As it says, you respect my language. It means heaps to her. Just make a big deal of that. It's not something you should make known or anything, but it means a lot. And so this is our challenge, I think, to be healthy treaty partners in Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And a part of this is respecting the language. I fully appreciate that it is really hard for us to try and to use it. I totally get that. I've been in that space and I'm still in that space, and I will be for a long time, I suspect. But it means so much, and it is really, really important. So, our challenge, to keep trying, to keep growing, to keep being positive about this stuff. Kia ora.